Well, over the next couple of weeks and months, we're going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah. And between Brian and I, we'll share different parts of the book. Today, I'm wanting to do a little bit of background into the book of Jeremiah. It's a long book, many, many chapters. We won't preach on every single chapter, but we'll try and pick up some themes as we go through the book of the Jeremiah. I've called this book of Jeremiah God's Plan Rules. And a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember we looked at Jeremiah 29, where it reminds us that God knows the plans He has for us. And but the reality is, the book of Jeremiah, friends, is about the plan of God. How God is working in the life of Israel and Judah, and all those things that need to happen to them as a nation. So the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 1 say this: these are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Joash, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Joash, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Thank you. Well, you know, this is just a couple of verses, but they give us some insight into, in a sense, the beginning of the story of the book of Jeremiah. So I've called the message of Jeremiah. What's the overall message of Jeremiah? Well, there are 5 points I want to make today. The first one is this: God has a master plan for the world. And that little thing that I did with the children a little bit earlier on, where I reminded us that the word history is really His story. And the Apostle Paul, when he was preaching in Athens in Acts chapter 17, as I read for you, reminds us that God is the one who is the mover behind history. God is the one who's making the plans of history. I was reading some statistics this last week about just the universe we live in. Do you know that the universe is expanding by 900 million kilometers every year? 900 million kilometers. It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? And there are more than 5,000 stars being created. Friends, the reality is there's this incredible growth, but God's still in charge. God knows what's happening. There's nothing that isn't happening, friends, that God is not aware of. So in your notes there, I've just reminded you a little bit about the history of Israel. Because really the Bible is about the history of Israel, certainly the Old Testament to a large degree. And it's just a small little segment of history. So if you look at the story there, the nation of Israel really began with Moses in 1,500 years before Christ, B.C. So from the time of Moses till the king happened, Saul the first king happened, that happened in about 1070 before Christ. Then there was a period of about 100 years where under Saul and under David and under Solomon, the nation of Israel was really one nation. And that really was God's ideal. God wanted this people group to be one nation. But after the death of Solomon, You'll remember that the nation of Israel divided itself between the northern kingdom, which called itself Israel, and the southern kingdom, which called itself Judah. And it was divided between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Those two kind of sons of Solomon divided the kingdom. And for a long time, as you look at the history of the kings, right through the books of Kings, you see the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel, they've generally got bad kings. And the southern nation, the nation of Judah, they've got a mixture of good and bad kings that happen. And all through this time, we have the writing of the prophets, and Jeremiah is one of those. And they're telling Israel, Israel, if you don't sort yourself out, God's going to kind of punish you. They're reminding the people of Israel, both Israel and Judah. The different prophets go to those different groups of people, and they tell them, God's got a plan. God's working in that plan, and you better be listening to it. Well, we know they're just typical human beings. Even though they know what is right with God, they don't follow God's plans. So in the end, God punishes them. And he first takes the northern kingdom into exile. And then he takes the southern kingdom into exile. And they're in exile for about 70 years, after which God brings them back together. And there's a period where they're together and they build a temple, rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah, you will know, rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. And then there's a period of about 400 years where we know very little about what happened in Israel. It's called the intertestamental period, from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. And then in the beginning of the New Testament, the year zero in terms of the Christian calendar, when Jesus is born, friends, we see Israel in Christ starting again. So, but the point I want you to look at this, friends, is that God is always at work. God is not caught off guard, friends. God is planning things. 1,500 years before Jesus came, the nation of Israel was established and grew and came out of captivity and all those sort of things that we can see in the Bible. Friends, God works over long periods of time. But the one thing we learn from the history of Israel, as it is captured in the story of Jeremiah and the story of the Old Testament, friends, is God has got a master plan. God knows what he's doing. And we can draw great encouragement from that as the people of God. We don't need to worry when it looks like things are out of control. When it looks like Donald Trump is in charge of the world today. He's not in charge, friends. God's still in charge. And we need to remember that. There is nothing happening that God doesn't understand and God doesn't know. The second thing we learn from the book of Jeremiah overall is that God has a message that he wants to deliver. In all of the prophets, you will come across this little phrase, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Obadiah. The word of the Lord came to Hezekiah, whatever. Goes on and on and on, friends. But it's always the word of the Lord came. Friend, God's got a message. God's got word, a word that he wants to deliver into the world in which we know. But of course, there's the ultimate word. And the ultimate word, of course, is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, And verse 1, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then further on it says, and the Word came and made his dwelling amongst us. Friends, God's got a message. His message has been going out for hundreds of years, thousands of years. The Word of the Lord, friends, God's been speaking in many, many different ways. He's been speaking through nature. He's been speaking through world events. He's been speaking through the prophets. He's been speaking through the scriptures. But his ultimate word, friends, comes in Christ. Because Christ, friends, is God's final message to us. He is not only the message, he is the means of the message. Not only does he tell us who God is, not only does he display who God is, but friends, he himself is the very word that comes from God. So this is important for us to understand when we come to the book of Jeremiah. Friends, right throughout this book, we will come across that little phrase, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. And why do I say this right at this point in time? Because, friends, when God speaks, he wants us to listen to him. And that's our problem as human beings. We don't like to listen to those who know what's best for us. Let me ask you about your children. When you tell your child to do something, what happens? They do the very opposite, isn't it? That's so very true for us, friends. When you tell your children to do something, well, maybe it's only my child, maybe your child are good. But the reality is, friends, we're all like that. We all know what the word is that comes from God. We all know the truth of that word. But friends, we live as if the word of God doesn't exist. And the book of Jeremiah is all about that, friends. Jeremiah is constantly telling the people of Israel, this is the word of the God. But you don't want to listen to it. You rather want to listen to the words of men or other things. But this is the word of God, friends. So God has a message that he wants to deliver. Thirdly, God has a method he will use to deliver the message. As we work through the book of Jeremiah, friends, Jeremiah went through a lot of different things that God told him to use to convey the message. I've just listed a few of them there. In chapter 13, God says, use a linen belt, and we'll see how God. In chapter 18, God sends Jeremiah to a potter's house, and there God shows Jeremiah, in the same way that the potter forms the clay, I'm the one who's the potter, who's working in people's lives. In chapter 24, there are two baskets of figs. Well, you'll remember the story in the New Testament where Jesus curses the figs. And you can see connections between these things. In chapter 32, Jeremiah buys a field. This is, as the kingdom of Assyria and the Babylonians are attacking Israel and just about to take them into captivity, friends, it's the very worst time to buy property because everybody's trying to sell their property to get out of town, to go to Rome or somewhere else in the world. And property is just, you know, useless to you because the reality is you may own a piece of property, but you may be taken off into captivity. But Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah, buy a field. And we'll see the significance of that there. At one point in time, in chapter 38, God tells Jeremiah he's going to get stuck in a cistern, in a well. And he's stuck in a well with his head sticking out over the out of the clay. And the rest of him is covered in clay. And friends, the point I'm trying to make is God uses many different methods to convey his message. And why is that so important for us? Because, friend, the way I preach is different from the way Brian preaches. The way Brian preaches is different from the way others preach or the way you. But, friends, we all have a place. We all have a way in which God can use us to his glory and honor. God, friends, has different ways, different methods to reach into humanity. I love to use children's talks. For me, it's a vital part of trying to convey the message. Because I bet you in a year's time, you're going to remember that little story rather than what I preached about this morning. Am I right? When you see the word history in the future, you're immediately going to think his story. Because you saw it this morning. But are you going to remember all these 5 points that I preached about this morning? I bet you by next week, most of you would have forgotten half of them at least. In 2 weeks' time, you would have forgotten all of them. But don't worry, I would have also forgotten about them. But I won't forget. His history is his story. So God uses many different methods, friends, to reach into this world today. Fourthly, God uses mankind to deliver that message. Now, when I use the word mankind here, I'm not only talking about men, I'm talking about all people. Friend, God uses all people to deliver his message. You've just got to look at the Bible, friends. Old, young, men, women, sick people, healthy people, short people, tall people. It doesn't matter, friends. The story is, the Bible is full of stories of different kinds of people God uses to tell his message. And there's an encouragement for us. There is a place for all of us, friends, in God's kingdom. There's a place for all of us to do and to spread the message of God. None of us, friends, should say it's somebody else's job. We all have a task to tell others about who Jesus is. And then finally, friend, the message of Jeremiah is that God has an emancipator to set people free. I was trying to think of a word with an M. I suppose I could have used the word mediator. God has a mediator that has come to set people free. And that mediator, friends, is Jesus Christ. That really is what the book of Jeremiah is all about, friends. The first 29 chapters of the book of Jeremiah is God's, or the message of Jeremiah from God to the Israelites to say, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're naughty, you're going to get punished, you're wicked, God doesn't like what you're doing. And the first 29 chapters, friends, is God telling Israel, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. But then we get to halfway through chapter 29, and from 29 through to the end of the passage. And the rest of the book of Jeremiah, friends, is about the fact that God has got a new covenant with his people. God's got a new plan for his people. So, let me just read, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 1, it says this. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdom, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning insults to other gods, and in worshipping what other their hands have made. So the first 29 chapters is all about that. It's all about God is cross with Israel for turning their back on God. But then we get to chapter 30 and we read this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from God. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess. Friends, God's message is about restoration. God's message is about a hope. God's message is about a new covenant. In fact, we read about that in Jeremiah 33. God's message, friends, is that there is a new covenant. And who is the one that spoke about a new covenant? None other than Jesus. He says, this is the new covenant, that you love one another. So, friends, God has an emancipator, somebody who wants to set us free, like he did for the nation of Israel, brought them back from captivity, the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. Friends, God has a liberator for us too. That is found in the person of Jesus. So let me remind you, God's got a plan, friends. You don't need to be concerned about what's happening about you. God knows what he's doing, friends. He's been in charge since the creation of the world. God has a message he wants to deliver. And we are privileged enough, friends, to have a copy of that in our Bible. God, friends, has a method he will use, and he uses different methods. Don't expect everybody to want to follow God in the same way. God, friends, uses all of us, uses all mankind to display, to talk about that message. And yes, the final message, friends, God has an emancipator. God is sending somebody to set us free. For the Israelites, it was a foreign king called Cyrus. But for us, it's the king of all kings called Jesus. He is the one who sets us free. He is the one who the message is all about. He is the one whom we speak about. He, friends, although his name doesn't appear in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, friends, is all about pointing us to the coming of Jesus. What a great message is contained in this passage. And I hope we'll be open to learning from this book of Jeremiah. There's so much in it. So much we can learn about how to be faithful to God, how to follow God, how to do the things of God, and how to appreciate all that God is doing for us. Let's pray together.